Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've been glued to the market terminal, you know the past week felt, well, it felt like the floor disappeared.
It really did.
We saw some extreme volatility, a chaotic event that led to these sharp Dow reversals, and more importantly, a huge spike in the VIX.
That spike tells the story. I mean, the VIX is the market's fear gauge. And when it jumps like that, it signals serious panic.
Hmm.
But this episode was fascinating because it wasn't a universal collapse. It was a really concentrated rout, almost like a delayed reaction to all these lingering fears about the AI bubble and NVIDIA's recent earnings call.
Exactly. And when the market gets scared, you know, speculators run for the exits. But our mission today is to look at that week, the week of November 17th, 2025, and ask a different question.
A better question.
What were the people who know their companies best, the CEOs, the directors, what were they doing with their own money right in the middle of that chaos? We're looking for signs of high conviction.
And we found them. We have a stack of significant open market insider buys that happened precisely as that fear was peaking. And what's so crucial to understand is where the pain was.
Right. It wasn't everywhere.
Not at all. While the NASDAQ dropped 2.7% and crypto just plummeted, almost 13%, the broader market, if you look at the equal weight S&P, the RSP, it was only down 0.84%.
So that just confirms it. The panic was specific. It was focused on growth, leverage, and that perceived AI bubble.
And that's exactly where we find management stepping in to buy.
So let's unpack the engine of that panic, this AI anxiety. This is where it gets really interesting.
The primary catalyst for the sell-off was the intense talk of a looming AI bubble. Our sources really highlighted CEO Jensen Huang's move during the NVIDIA earnings call.
I remember this. He spent a lot of time giving this preemptive, very spirited defense of the AI CapEx supercycle, even before they presented the blowout numbers.
And the analyst felt that defensiveness made the market nervous. It's that old saying, right? If you have to vigorously defend yourself against the idea of a bubble, the market just assumes you're already in one and starts looking for the exit.
A psychological trigger.
That's the psychological part. But the structural trigger was the timing. Alphabet had just released Gemini.
A top-tier AI model.
A top-tier model that showed it could operate without relying solely on NVIDIA silicon. And when you combine those two things...
NVIDIA defending the bubble and a huge rival showing it can go its own way.
Exactly. Speculators saw an excuse to doubt the whole story. They sold. And they hit high-growth tech names the hardest.
So as speculators were dumping shares, executives were busy signing checks, what did they buy?
We've sort of segmented the most meaningful buys into three types, and it reflects their internal thesis. You've got your high conviction, high risk bets,
the rocket ships,
then the deep value and turnaround plays, and finally, the niche moats and operational leverage plays. But the common thread is management betting on their own execution, no matter the macro noise.
Okay, let's dive into that first category, the most aggressive ones. High conviction, high risk bets. These are trades where the downside is obvious to everyone, but insiders are making these multi-million dollar statements.
We can start with a real high stakes gamble in biotech. Biohaven LTD, that's BHVN. The CEO, Vlad Coric, and two directors purchased approximately $30 million worth of stock.
Wait, 30 million?
30 million at $7.50 a share.
In speculative biotech, that is just, it's extraordinary. But this is the definition of high risk, isn't it? No recurring revenue, and their cash runway is super short, just a few quarters.
It's a purely binary bet on execution, but the rationale, it lies in two specific structural changes. First, they restructured their Knot deal.
Okay.
And get this, it removed over $860 million in highly technical contingent liabilities. These are payments they would have owed based on future milestones.
So you just wiped $860 million in potential liabilities off the books.
That
immediately increases your optionality.
Massively. And second, the success of their key program, KV7 or BHB7000, for essential tremor. If that succeeds, the stock will get what we call a hard re-rate.
Meaning the market fundamentally changes how it values the entire company, not just a little bump.
Exactly. So the $30 million is a bet that the execution risk on that pipeline is now worth taking because the financial structure is so much cleaner.
Okay. Now contrast that with the biggest dollar figure trade we saw.
Energy Transfer LP or ET. Director Kelsey L. Warren bought a staggering 2 million shares for $33.7
million. $33 million. That's a powerful signal. But ET is huge infrastructure, right? It needs constant high capital expenditure and commodity prices are all over the place.
True, but the analyst calls this sleeper value. It's a bet on the deep integrated moat of their existing pipelines and the optionality of their LNG strategy.
Specifically, the Lake Charles LNG project.
That's the one. For the insider, the market just isn't pricing in the full benefit of that scale and future cash flow. You get a real yield right now, nearly 8%, while management signals that their long-term growth projects are worth holding through the CapEx cycle. They see a huge margin of safety.
Our third case in this high-risk bucket is the REIT. Arbor Realty Trust ADR CEO Ivan Kaufman bought over $469,000 worth. This one feels like the definition of a binary outcome.
It is, and this is where you have to talk about asymmetric payoff. Arbor is this weird hybrid. It's got a stable servicing business, kind of like an annuity, but then it has a high-risk structured lending arm.
And a high short interest. Plus, critically, a DOJ investigation risk. Those are some serious red flags.
They are, and it's enough to scare off most people, but management sees an asymmetric payoff.
Meaning the risk is defined, you might risk $1, but if they navigate this successfully, the upside could be $5 or $10.
Precisely. The CEO's buy is a direct challenge to the shorts. He's signaling that the current price is pricing in, you know, a 90% chance of catastrophe, and he believes that's just wrong.
So the common thread here is maximum belief in their own specific internal execution, despite these huge market risks. Let's shift gears. Let's look at established businesses that are either depressed or in the middle of a massive pivot, the deep value and turnaround plays.
Our first focus here is a hidden leisure gem, Marriott Vacations Worldwide, VAC. We saw two directors, including the board chairman, William Joseph Shaw, buy $920,000 worth of stock.
And this stock is trading in the mid-40s. But our sources point to a DCF-derived fair value, that's management's calculation of its true worth, somewhere closer to $90 or even $100 plus. That's a massive disconnect.
It is. The market is entirely fixated on their high leverage and the current macro environment. Leisure spending feels vulnerable.
So what are the insiders seeing?
They're buying because they're voting on the success of their internal modernization program. They see a clear path to generating immense free cash flow once that program is fully rolled out. They think the market is only looking at the balance sheet risk and totally ignoring the operational upside.
Okay, let's look at a structural value play. PN Entertainment, or PNN, it's navigating this huge, costly rebuild with ESPN BetT. Director David Handler bought $285,000 worth.
PN is a classic. The foundation, the physical casino empire, is solid. That's the backstop. The risk and the leverage is all in the interactive business, iCasino and the ESPN BetT pivot.
And the insider buy is a vote of confidence that they can manage the heavy debt and the digital losses long enough to pull it off.
Exactly. If they achieve disciplined execution, the DCF modeling still suggests a fair value between $25 and $29. It's a high-risk rebuild, but those physical assets provide a floor.
Next, an industrial company shifting its whole strategy. MSC Industrial Direct, MSM. A director, Philip Peller, bought over $600,000 worth. What exactly is this Mission Critical 2.0 strategy?
It's smart. MSC is moving away from being a simple, you know, transactional spot buy distributor.
Right.
Their new strategy is to become an embedded partner. They use in-plant solutions like vending machines, on-site inventory management. This shift builds a semi-recurring revenue backbone, which makes their cash flow way more predictable.
So the insider is betting that this transformation will work even if general industrial demand is soft right now and biting into margins.
That's the bet.
Before we move on, let's quickly touch on two other distressed or cyclical bets that kind of highlight the same thesis.
Sure. We saw the CEO of Fossil Group, FOSL, buy $359,000. This one is described as a turnaround play masquerading as a zombie retailer.
That's not a flattering description.
No, it's high risk, a lot of debt, but cost cuts are providing a glimmer of hope that the valuation is just too cheap if they can stabilize. And on the cyclical side, Trexco, T-R-E-X, the composite decking leader, saw its CFO buy nearly $480,000.
And Trex is all about the housing market cycle.
Completely. It's a high-quality compounder, but it's totally dependent on housing. So a large CFO buy like that suggests a strong conviction that the downturn is bottoming out and a rebound is coming.
Okay, that covers the deep value bets. Let's move to our final category, niche moats and operational leverage. These are companies using specialized tech or distribution to generate predictable cash flow, even if they're facing headwinds.
What stands out here is the complexity of the moat. Take a look at Transmedics Group, TMDX, in MedTech. The CEO, Waleed Hussein, bought over $1 million worth.
And what makes their model so powerful is a combination of device and service, right?
Right. Transmedics has two layers to its moat. It has device leverage with its organ care system, the OCS, for preserving organs. But then it has service leverage through its national OCS program for logistics.
So they don't just sell you the box.
They don't just sell the box. They manage the entire complex transport and utilization process. And that dual layer model creates massive operational leverage. The CEO buy signals he believes the utilization ramp is accelerating and that profitability is a reality now, not just some distant promise.
And we have ACV auctions, ACVA. It's in the opaque wholesale used car market. Multiple directors were buying, including one who spent over $5 million.
ACV is building a crucial piece of digital infrastructure. They're bringing transparency and network effects to a market that has been traditionally dominated by physical auctions.
And they have strong revenue growth.
Over 30%. The moat comes from their data-driven inspection process and just the sheer size of their network. Profitability is still nascent, short interest is high, but that insider bet is clearly on the scalability of that network.
Our third niche play is Avantor, AVTR. The new CEO, Emmanuel Leiner, bought nearly $1 million worth. Now this company, a life sciences distributor, doesn't sound very sexy, so what makes it valuable?
Its strength is that it's deeply embedded in the global life sciences backbone. About 85% of its revenue is highly recurring. They're a non-sexy but very reliable cog in the machine.
And the CEO is new.
Right. So his buy signals his belief that he can execute a major cost transformation plan, and he's got activist pressure in the background, which helps. If that cost cutting works, the company is poised for a significant re-rating.
And finally, we should probably mention Zebra Technologies, ZBRA. A director bought over $233,000 there. That's another pivot play, isn't it?
Absolutely. Zebra built its name on rugged hardware scanners, mobile computers. But the turnaround is pivoting that massive installed base into a higher margin, recurring software and automation business. The insider buy suggests the market is deeply underestimating how fast they can monetize that transition.
So this whole tour shows us that when the macro narrative, in this case, AI bubble, fear drives this indiscriminate selling, insiders look for execution opportunities. What's the key lesson you want the listener to take away from all this chaos?
I think the consistency is the key. In every single sector, management is using their own capital to signal conviction in one of three things.
Okay.
Their ability to execute against enormous internal challenges, like Biohaven or PEN, or the profound disconnect between the current price and future cash flow, like Marriott Vacations, or finally, the power of their specialized moats to generate leveraged, predictable cash flow, like Transmedics.
So they aren't avoiding the volatility. They are actively buying into it. They're betting their internal view of value based on their own DCF models and operational plans is more accurate than the market's general fear.
Exactly. They're identifying calculated risk where they have the most skin in the game, from a $33 million infrastructure bet to an aggressive life sciences pivot.
Which raises an important question for you, the listener, to consider, right?
It does. If the market is currently hearing the sound of an AI bubble popping, and that's what the NVIDIA reaction suggests, are these widespread, aggressive insider buys signaling something else?
Signaling that the next wave of outsized returns is actually found in the real-world operational execution, in these non-AI-dependent businesses that the market is just ignoring or selling off.
That's the question. Are the insiders telling us that while the AI story is great, the best near-term value lies in these deeply discounted assets and disciplined turnarounds that have been totally overlooked in the frenzy?
It's a fascinating dynamic, that tension between perception and reality.
Something to mull over as you analyze where the real value is being created today.
A fantastic deep dive into conviction versus chaos. Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.